If you could please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 3, the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. And while you're opening, I just want to say I'm always so thankful to be able to stand before my church family and be able to bring the word of God as the Lord lays it on my heart. And I just pray that as I prayed about this, I prayed what the Lord would have me to preach. And there was one thing on my heart and my flesh that I wanted to preach. And God said, no, we're taking you a different way. And so I just prayed this lesson blessed me, and I pray that it will do the same here tonight. Now, while you're opening, I just want to tell a little story about a man named Samuel Dyer. I'm not sure if any of you have heard that name. Samuel Dyer was a missionary to China. At the age of 39, he was acting as secretary to the General Missionary Conference. It was the first ever held on Chinese soil, so it was a pretty big deal at that time. And while he was there, he wrote a letter to his wife, who at the time was in Singapore, and he wrote this, and I just want you to listen and read at what he wrote to his wife. He said, "From my windows, I look across to the lofty summits of the Chinese hills. The sight is almost overwhelming. In my happiest moments, just two thoughts seem to concentrate every longing of my heart. One is that the name of Jesus may be glorified in China, and the other that you and I and each of our dear children may live only to assist in bringing this to pass. Cease to feel the intensest interest in the spiritual prosperity of China. I never can, while this bosom has a heart to feel. Cease to serve the cause of Christ among the Gentiles. I never may, while I have head and hands to work. I am as happy as I can be without you, though nothing can compensate for the absence of one who is the joy of my heart. Still, I am about my Father's business, and if I may but do something for the evangelization of that benighted land, come sorrow, come joy, come grief, come delight, all shall be welcome for the love I bear to him who bled on the Mount of Calvary." A few weeks at the age of 39 after he wrote that letter, he died of a severe fever. But he never waned. He never questioned. But his whole life, he rejoiced and he yearned to fulfill the call that God, the Lord Jesus, had placed upon his life. Ever since I've answered the call that the Lord has given me and my wife, Lorena, many people have asked me the question, why Japan? And as we get ready to leave very soon now, I wanted to bring to my church family an answer to the question, why Japan? It's a legitimate question. Why would I leave the commonalities of life to venture to frontiers that are completely unknown to me? And it's very simple, really. The Lord said to me, "Go and speak my words." He has placed a call upon my life and with it an intense interest in the spiritual prosperity of Japan. There is a love in my heart for the nation and the people that live there that I cannot explain outside of Jesus Christ placing it into me as I've prayed for it. And so whether come sorrow, come joy, come grief, come delight, all shall be welcome for the love I bear to him who bled on the Mount of Calvary. And so the title of this message this evening is Go and Speak My Words. And I was afraid that on Sunday morning, Pastor was stealing my message a little bit. But Lord willing, it'll just be a continuation of him. I'll be like his arm that's continuing on. And so this evening, I want to communicate on that biblical command. And so we are going to learn three lessons from the life of Ezekiel as to why each of us have a responsibility upon our own lives as Christians to fulfill that command on our lives, to go and speak his word. Now, before we get into those three reasons, I want to give a little bit of a historical background to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is very interesting, very deep, very awesome, and oftentimes very hard to understand and comprehend book of the Bible. Ezekiel was a contemporary with Daniel and Jeremiah. He worked alongside of them as prophets of the Lord God in the same time period. Not that they were in the same area per se, but they were all preaching at the same time during the rise of the Babylonian Empire. Now, during this period, the nation of Babylon had invaded Judah, that southern tribe of Israel, and they had already taken many of the people captive. But while Daniel and his friends, you know their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, while Daniel and his friends were taken to serve in the courts and the governments of Babylon, Ezekiel, on the other hand, was taken to serve in his ministry in the refugee camp of the Babylonian prisoners that were taken along to the city. Now, the purpose of Ezekiel's ministry, his prophetic ministry there, was to minister to the coming fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple and city. That was his message to the people. The first 32 chapters of this book speak on that and focus on that coming judgment of Judah and her sin. The latter chapters of the book, the final chapters of the book, speak about the hope and the restoration that God has planned for his people Israel, which will come in the end days. You see, God has never abandoned, nor will ever abandon his people. Amen. That includes us. Now, at the point in history where Ezekiel was preaching, the people of Israel, they had abandoned the God of the Bible. And what they did is they replaced him with a small g god of self-interest, a god of self-fulfillment, a god of self-desire. Essentially, they exchanged who God is, who the Bible says God is. And through the preaching and teaching of false prophets, they changed their view of him into one who is for them purely for their pleasure and their lifestyle choices. I'm sure you've heard of that today. And so they wanted a God, small g again, who was distant, a God who took pleasure in their wickedness, a God who held no judgment for sin. To that type of people, Ezekiel was called to minister. And so with that background material understood, we're now going to transition and delve into those three reasons from the life of Ezekiel for which we can glean from as believers in Christ in order to fulfill the command that is placed upon our life. And so we're in Ezekiel chapter 3, the verse 3 verses. Now the first reason of our responsibility is this: we are called. Again, I said it's very simple. We are called. The Bible says this in the first three verses. Moreover, he said unto me, that's God speaking to Ezekiel. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The verses that we just read are a continuation of God's conversation with Ezekiel in chapter 2. I don't have enough time to read chapter 2, so we're jumping straight to here. And the Lord in chapter 2 is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says in that chapter, he says this, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. Now, not against Ezekiel, but against me, against God. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. You see, the nation was filled with rebels against God and his commands. And so the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, and he says, don't be like them. Don't be a rebel. Open your mouth and consume this roll that I give thee. Now, what is that roll? Some of you might be thinking. I know when I first heard that, my mind came to a sushi roll. I'm going to Japan, so. But I promise it's not a sushi roll. The roll is like our book. Okay, it's a scroll where the text was written on. Hence the name scroll. Roll. It's rolled up as a scroll. And so the Lord wasn't asking Ezekiel to literally eat a book, okay? He was telling him to listen and heed the word of the Lord, to consume it essentially spiritually into his very being as true. And we're going to read that as we read through the verses in chapter 3. You see, what was going on is no one else in the nation of Israel would heed the word of God. Nobody would listen to it. Their ears were closed. Ezekiel was the only man found faithful, and the Lord was going to use him for the sake of others. Now, within that role, the Bible says at the end of chapter 2, it says that within that role are the writings of mourning and woe. It was not going to be a message of joy and comfort that we get a lot of days in our churches. You see, Ezekiel's ministry, again, his prophetic ministry was focused on the destruction coming of the city and the temple of Jerusalem. They were to be destroyed. And so even for Ezekiel, as we would call it, it was a tough pill to swallow, or a tough role to swallow. Which is probably why in chapter 3, the Lord repeated himself to Ezekiel. You see, he was commanded to eat this roll, which we know is the word of God. But at the end of chapter 2, when he knew what God had to say, and he knew that it wasn't exactly filled with the easiest of messages to preach, it was a little bit troubling for him. But you see, God doesn't call us to preach only that which tickles the ears, or even that which tickles the ears of the people. He calls us to preach his word in whatever context he deems. And so he repeats himself in chapter 3, and he tells Ezekiel, eat the roll. Don't be a rebel like they are. Consume it and go and speak to the house of Israel. And Ezekiel, the Bible says, he heeds the command. He opens his mouth and the Lord begins to fill him with this roll, which we again know to be his word. He is to consume it, not merely into the shallow parts, the Bible says. Cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels. Fill yourself, Ezekiel, completely with the word of God. Fill every fiber of your being with what I have to say. And you know what amazes me? At the end of chapter 2, we see that the roll is filled with lamentation and woe. But when Ezekiel eats it, in verse 3, it says, in my mouth, it was as honey for sweetness. How does something go from woe and lamentation and mourning to honey and sweetness just by tasting it? Well, our Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Does it not? You see, though there is a message of judgment for sin that is coming, it is overshadowed by the hope of salvation that pierces through it when one makes the decision to fill themselves with the word of God. You see, what Ezekiel is learning is that without God, judgment will come. But with God, hope and salvation and glory. And know the nation of Israel is going to learn this. They're going to rebel. They are rebelling, and judgment will come. But again, God promises in the end days, Israel will be restored. Though imminent judgment was at the door, so to speak, one day those people will look toward their Savior, Jesus Christ, and realize his glory. And when there was once destruction, it will become restoration, sweetness at the bottom of a bitter cup. Krishna Pal was the first convert through the ministry of William Carey in India. This man, Krishna Pal, he said this after he was saved. He said, I followed Hindu worship. I bathed in the Ganges. I worshipped dumb idols. I prostrated myself times without number at my guru's feet. I gave my gifts to the priests. I visited holy places. I kept repeating the name of my guardian deity. But it brought me little good, little relief from my sin. And then I heard of Jesus Christ, that he became flesh and dwelt among us and was as one that served, and even for our ransom gave his life. And what love, I thought, is this? And here I made my rest. Powerful words. Why India? Right? Because God called William Carey to eat the roll and preach to it to men like Krishna Pal. Why Israel? Because God called Ezekiel to eat the roll and preach it to his brethren. Why Japan? Because God called me to eat the roll and preach it to those people that are so lost. We are called and commissioned to take this book and tell people about what it says. Now, understand, I'm not talking about full-time vocational preacher boy ministry. I'm not talking about being a youth pastor, or a children's pastor, or a head pastor, an associate pastor, or a deacon. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the command on our lives as Christians to fulfill that great commission that the Lord put on us to reach the lost of the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ that says impending judgment for sin is coming. But my God pierces through that. And salvation is present if you'd only eat the roll. We have the roll of life. I mean, we have it. It's called the Bible. Have you consumed it yet? God said to Ezekiel, who was a faithful man, don't rebel. Don't be like them. You do what I'm calling you to do. Don't worry about anybody else. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the world. Second reason for our responsibility is this. The outcome does not negate our responsibility. Again, the outcome does not negate our responsibility. That's found in verses 4 through 21. The Bible says this. And he said unto me, again, that's God speaking to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words. Not your words, Ezekiel. Speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words, very important, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go. Get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them. What does that say? Thus saith the Lord God. Speak unto them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, remember that refugee camp. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Very important, okay? It's not us who calls ourselves to a people. It's the Lord Jesus who calls us to a people. I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and they lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, our second reason for responsibility is the outcome does not negate our responsibility. The Lord here instructs Ezekiel in these verses on his call and on the negative result from the people for his preaching, and on the command that he had to preach regardless of the outcome. In chapter 2, the Lord Jesus compared the people of Israel as scorpions who would speak foul words and would have foul looks in rebellion to the ministry of Ezekiel preaching the word of God. Here in these verses that we just read, the Lord says their faces would be strong against him. Like stone bashing against stone, they will harden themselves. I mean, imagine being told by God, I want you to go and preach to this people. But when you go and preach to this people, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear you. In fact, not just that, but they're going to come against you. And they're going to fight against you. They're going to harden themselves against you in venomous opposition. I mean, that's not exactly one of the easiest callings. I don't see a lot of people and men running to that calling in our day and time. But God says, regardless of that reality, in verse 10, he speaks to Ezekiel and he says, son of man, all my words, again, not some of them, not only the good stuff, not only the joyful stuff, not only the stuff that we like to hear, all my words, everything, the hard and the good, those things you speak unto that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, again, all the words, and tell them whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they will accept or whether they will reject. The Lord knew what was going to happen. They were going to reject. But understand that the Lord in his mercy and in his grace still gives every chance possible so that there's no excuse. We can never get to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you didn't tell me. Yes, he did. And he did it continually. He's merciful and he yearns for people to get right with him. And even in rebellion, he sends faithful men to preach the whole word of God. Ezekiel was then taken up by the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that he went up in bitterness and in rage. And I think we could kind of sympathize with him a little bit here. It was a difficult message to hear that the people that he loved so much, the people that he was called to preach to, would reject the message in outward opposition, and the rejection of that message would bring about the destruction of the city and the temple that he loved with all of his heart. I mean, that's hard for him. But the Bible says that though he went up in bitterness and rage in the heat of his spirit, he said, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. You see, he received his strength from God, not from people. That's such an important lesson for us to realize. My teacher once said this to me. He said, if the primary reason you are going is for the salvation of the heathen, the primary reason you will leave is because of the heathen. Ezekiel's ministry was kept strong despite the opposition because he was made firm. He was strengthened in the Lord, and it was the Lord, the Bible said, who called him. It wasn't just a good idea. It wasn't because he saw the lost. Those are good reasons, okay, that there's lost. But the primary reason he went was because God said, I have made thee a watchman over my people. You know, the people of Israel, they had the potential to turn him away from ministry if that was his reason for going. But it was the Lord who gave him his strength. And so the Spirit of God takes him and he sits him by the river Chebar. just to sit and watch the Israelite refugees about their daily business. And the Bible says that he sat there for 7 days astonished by what he saw. That word there, astonished, it means appalled, awestruck, in horror. That there is a sense of desertion there. They deserted completely God. They completely separated themselves from him. The sins of the people were so blatant, and it was horrifying to him. But the Lord speaks again and says unto him, I've made thee a watchman, speak my word and warn them. And it's very important what God says here, because it deals not only with Ezekiel, but it's upon our own selves. You see, Ezekiel's responsibility was limited to preaching the word of God to the people and warning them of what was to come. That was his responsibility. Not in their response, not in what they would choose, whether to listen or to forbear, but merely and simply in preaching the word. He had to warn them, but he couldn't make the decisions for them. If he was not faithful in his obligation, God said, you, I'm holding you, Ezekiel, responsible for their sin. Their blood, the Bible says, would be required at his hands. Scary thought. Hudson Taylor, again, one of my favorite missionaries, who's a missionary to the nation of China. He was given an opportunity to preach to a large congregation in Perth, Australia. This was a conference that they were having, but Hudson Taylor wanted to preach on missions, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it, but he squoze his foot into the door, and they gave him opportunity. You see, missions was not seen as an essential part of this conference, of this community of Baptist Bible-believing churches here. They said, don't worry about those people that are over there. We've got enough issues of our own in our own country. During the sermon, when he was able to speak, he told of a story of a journey he had from Shanghai to Ningpo. And he was on a boat, and on that boat, he met a fellow Chinese passenger who had spent some years in England, and he went by the name of Peter. This man was not saved, and Hudson Taylor had some opportunity and began to preach to him, but he never accepted the Lord. They eventually docked, and they prepared to go to shore when all of a sudden a loud crash was heard in the water. Peter had fallen overboard, and he was beginning to drown as the tide was going out. And so Hudson Taylor, he spotted some fishermen that were just not very far away, and he began to call out to them. And he had this conversation. It went like this. He said, come, crying out that when he saw hope reviving with these fishermen here, come and rake over this spot. There is a man that's drowning. Vebin came the reply. That means it's not convenient. And he said, don't talk of convenience. Quickly come or it will be too late. We are busy fishing. Never mind your fishing. Come, but come only at once. I will pay you well. Came to that. How much will you give us? 30 shillings, or in our terms, $5. Only don't stand talking. Save life without delay. Too little, came the reply across the water. We will not come for less than $30. But I have not so much with me. I will give you all that I have. They asked him, how much would that be? I don't know, about $14. And upon hearing that, they came, and the first time they passed their net through the water, they brought up the missing man. And Mr. Hudson Taylor tried as he might to revive him. It was all too clear that he died. A burning sense of indignation swept over that great audience there in Perth, Australia. Could it be that anywhere on this earth, people were to be found so utterly callous and selfish? But as Hudson Taylor's earnest voice went on, a conviction struck home all the more deeply. He said this, is the body then of so much more value than the soul? We condemn those heathen fishermen. We say they were guilty of a man's death because they could have easily have saved him and did not do it. But what of the millions whom we leave to perish, and that eternally? Why China? Because Hudson Taylor and Samuel Dyer were called And to reject that call, to rebel against that call, would mean that the blood of the Chinese would be on their hands. Why Japan? Because if I don't heed the call, if I reject it outright and rebel against it, their blood will be on my hands. Many of our churches today have grown calloused. Death has become a normal part of life. You know, for those men in Perth, at least indignation rose within them upon hearing that Peter had passed away, and that indignation was great. At least there was a response, an emotion. Today, oftentimes we hear a story like that and something along the lines of, oh man, sorry to hear that. It's too bad. There's no emotion. There's no real care other than a shallow level in our hearts and in our minds. We move on with our life. We've lost the emotion, we've lost the pain, the sting when someone dies without Christ. As Hudson Taylor once so famously said, people are perishing and God is so blessing the work. Are you part of the work? Or are you on the sidelines, just waiting for nothing to happen? I'd urge you, take a look at your hands and ask the Lord Jesus that they might never be covered in blood. Third reason for our responsibility is this. We are the Lord's mouthpiece. We are the Lord's mouthpiece. That's found in verses 22 through the end of the chapter. Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. To understand the ministry of Ezekiel, we must understand that oftentimes the Lord would cause Ezekiel to symbolically illustrate the literal message of God. What was literally coming. There were many times in Ezekiel's life that he had to do this in his ministry. Sometimes, if you read through the book, they're a little bit more difficult for us to grasp and comprehend than some others. But they always worked to symbolically demonstrate to the people what was literally coming according to God's word. In this instance, the prophet was instructed to go home and shut himself in his house, kind of like a divine house arrest. He was not to come outside unless specifically directed by God. His tongue was going to be shut up as if he was one who was dumb. Now, not unintelligent, okay, but one who is unable to speak his own words, his own mind, his own thoughts and feelings. The only time the Bible says that he was permitted to speak to people was when the Lord spoke with him. Each time he spoke, it was to be, as verse 27 says, thus saith the Lord God. And so from the time that he was given this command, and from the time that his mouth was finally opened again for him to be able to speak his own mind, was a period of 7 years. I mean, imagine not being able to have any type of heart to hearts for 7 years. That's pretty difficult. But that was the ministry of Ezekiel here at this time. As verse 27 says, when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. You see, the Lord wanted the people of Israel to understand that though Ezekiel was God's man for the moment, it was the Lord who was directly confronting and speaking to them through his prophet. Nothing was spoken during that time that was from Ezekiel's own mouth. They rebelled against me, God said, and I have something to say. We have a missionary couple in our church that we support, John and Roberta Steffi. They came not long ago and they presented their ministry to the Philippines, what God is doing, and they gave that report, and Brother John actually preached to us. And I remember something that he said within his sermon that was just so striking to me. He said that I am the mouthpiece of Plantation Baptist Church in the Philippines. And I thought to myself, man, that is such a true and powerful statement. As one supported by us, he speaks the words of God for which we have commissioned him to speak to those people. Why Japan? Because I have the wonderful privilege to be the mouthpiece of God, of the Lord Jesus, and of Plantation Baptist Church for those people. To preach unto them, thus saith the Lord God, to shut myself into that country, so to speak, and tell them all the words of the living God. The mouthpiece of God is you and me. As Christians that hold the very word of God, the whole word, the hard to speak and the soothing to speak, the challenging and the encouraging. And we have to constantly ask ourselves in our own mind, who am I speaking for right now? I know sometimes I want the Lord to shut my mouth. We are his mouthpiece in this world. Understand that. Why Japan has a simple answer. That's where the Lord Jesus made it plain to Lorena and I that is where he has called us. We prayed about it. And he showed us directly in his word, this is where I've called you, and I have nothing that I can say, no excuse that I can give. All I can do is rebel against that if I were to do that. He has directed us, and we need to go and speak the word, the whole word, and tell them about what this Bible says. I have no desire within me to rebel against that. I have no desire to have blood on my hands. I have no desire to speak what comes from me. I want to rush to the water's edge and rake my net through it and bring up those bodies before they die, before the tide goes out and takes them away. Not everybody's called to go to China or India or the Philippines or Japan. Not everybody is. Some of them are called, some people are called to stay right here. Ezekiel was, he was called to his people in Israel. He had a hard ministry, but it was his ministry that was given to him from the Lord, and there was no plausible excuse in rebelling against it. God has called each and every Christian to a ministry, every single one of us to a ministry, to speak to a person or to a people about God's word. All of his word. And what a shame would it be if we sat in our pew week after week, day after day, and one day we meet the Lord Jesus and we look at our hands and they're covered in the blood of those that God commissioned for our lives. The Lord Jesus is with us. He makes us firm. He strengthens us. Who is your ministry? Go and speak his words. Shall we pray?